Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Junktime Mad Football Podcast for round 16, 2021. We're coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios and Rod Carter Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who is furious that Sean Burgoyne played his 400th game last night. It is Adam Rosenbarks.
G'day, Michael, and I'm sorry to attack a player on your team. You know how much I revere the Hawthorn Football
them.
Club.
You respect
I
them.
Do.
You've actually
I always
got a,
have.
You've got a three-peat tattoo on your ankle. That's how good you are.
And it's grown even more so the closer that we've become friends. I just, you know, when I'm feeling down, when I give you a call and go, just tell me about the 2014 grand final, please.
Yeah,
and
sure.
You just regale me, and I have the best sleeps after I give you a buzz because I'm just so content and happy that Hawthorn got a three-peat.
But you know why that story resonates with you? By the fact that morning we went to Kapapalooza, didn't we? On the morning of the 2014 Grand Final.
Yes, we did. We did. And I remember I left before I got to see the great man, and you were fortunate enough because you know, can waltz straight into the MCG that you didn't have to hang around, that you didn't have to leave. So you got to meet the great, or you got to see the great man. You didn't get to meet him until many years later when he did our Zoom live show.
I just walk into the MCG members. A man takes my coat. A lady takes my gloves. But we should recap quickly Kapapalooza. So there was a pub near Southern Cross Station, not far from Marvel Stadium, where they were going to have the Wiz host Grand Final Day.
Yeah.
And they called it Kapapalooza. Maybe it was like $10-$15 to get in. I'm not really sure. And we went down, and I think the Wiz were meant to get there about midday or so, and you had to go.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because I was hosting a function.
Yeah, and I had to go to the game. And so I got to hang around about 5 minutes longer than you. And so I got a little quick selfie with the Wiz, who I think was wearing... was wearing leopard skin pants.
Did he? I'm imagining with that ensemble, when you go the leopard skin pants, you almost have to go an Ed Hardy t-shirt.
I actually think you were right on the money right there. Yeah. I think you were bang on the money right there. And then from
I think it's law that you go, if the cops see you with leopard skin pants and you don't have an Ed Hardy t-shirt, that's like a $200 fine instantly.
And I think you just hosted the day. So I think you got up before the game, quarter time, half time, three quarter time after the game, kind of, you know, gave out prizes, maybe a drink card or whatever.
So before the game, he would have said to someone, oh, I love you like a brother, but I am from Tasmania.
Yeah.
And then at quarter time, he would have said, oh, I love you like a brother, but I am from Tasmania.
And then at halftime, he would have changed it up and he would have said, I got a 3-inch penis 3 inches from the ground.
Great. And then three quarter time, he would have said, I love it like a brother,
but I have a 3-inch penis.
Anyway, Sean Burgoyne. I think it's a disgrace that it's being celebrated the way it is. Now, 400 games would be a great feat if he had earned them. Now, my issue is that Sean Burgoyne, in my mind, he is sitting on 392 games. Now, the reason I say that is because he's been the medical sub on quite a few occasions this year. And so I think that they shouldn't be counted in his tally. And therefore, he's at 392. And unfortunately, we're 15, round 16, there's only 7 more games, so he might get stranded on 399. And that's not me just being an arsehole, that's just facts.
But to pull you up for a second, like, I think he was a medical sub twice. Like, I don't think it has been that many games that he's been a medical sub.
I've seen a few Hawthorn games this year, and come on, mate, come on. Sean was just adding up numbers, mate. 392, and congratulations to Sean Burgoyne on getting to 399 and having to retire. What a fucking great effort! Good on him. So you can get from the Junk Time merch department. We've got our Silk 399 t-shirts.
Hashtag Silk 399.
Yeah, exactly. So get on board, people. When you see him out there, Junk Timers only. When you see Silk, you just go, mate, congratulations on $3.99, and he'll have that confused look that he often gets on his head, and he'll just be like, "What are you? No, I got to four." And you go, "Come on, mate." Rosie knows.
Yeah, sure. In round 22, there'll be a lot of stories with like maybe like one or two of his kids, but not all of them, because it's like his 399th. It's not his 400th. Why would you make a big deal about your 399?
No, exactly. His kids are embarrassed. They're like, "Dad couldn't even get to 400. I'm not even going to watch him."
Yeah, you might be like me. I do love it when the 400 Club gets together when they accept a new member. And I do love...
Who looks the most excited when that happens?
Dude, KB.
KB fucking lifts, doesn't he?
It's like KB's like going around the clubs going, "Who's fit? Who's ready? Yeah. Who's playing in their 300s? Like, I want to get them over the line, because there's a little joke I use when I say that a while back, we used to meet in a phone booth. Now...
How many did KB end up playing? Was it 430-ish?
403.
Oh, 403. Oh, okay. So he didn't smash through it.
No, and then Tucky, I think, got to about 421, I reckon.
Yeah, right. And Tucky played like 100 reserves games, didn't he?
Yeah, dude. Like, I actually don't know how many reserves games KB would have played, but he would have played a handful as well, you imagine.
Yeah, because it was just back in the day when they did that. I think someone tweeted during the week that the most senior games that anyone has played at that level was Craig Bradley. I think he's about 500.
Yeah, okay, gotcha. So was he a Port Adelaide dude, or was he a... I'm trying to think. Glenelg?
I don't think he was Glenelg, because that was Sticks. And it would be almost impossible to find out in a very quick time.
Yeah, sure. Okay, I'll look up Craig Bradley.
But you look at... Boomer looks like, you know, Port. As everyone says. It was Port.
Yeah.
There you go. Boomer looks like he could, you know, still run around. Dustin Fletcher just looks like... He doesn't look like a footballer who belongs with them.
No. He kind of just looks like a guy who kind of came off the tram and was like, you know...
what's going on here?
Hey, guys, you know, 6'5". Yeah. Remember that time back in 1993 when they said, "I'll be a really good player when I put on weight"? It's like, no, I didn't put on weight. I'm a really good player.
Yeah, I played 400 games, you dickheads.
Sorry,
your boys really came to the party, though, to celebrate Silk's 392nd game.
Dude, I saw some headline. It was like, you know, we were brave or something. It was like, brave? Like, I mean, we have a bunch of outs. We do have a bunch of outs. But it was also like, they were just kind of listless from the beginning.
Well, I think because in previous weeks you'd kind of been pretty competitive. I mean, you beat GWS last week. You'd been competitive, you know, up against Essendon. They were good games, and it seemed like your defensive structure was on board. But fucking hell, you went to bits. It was like you were celebrating the Port Adelaide section of Silk's career, and not the Hawthorn. He was like, "Fucking hell, why'd I leave?"
What a nice little thing, though, that actually ends up being, you know,
it did work out quite nicely.
So
didn't
Boat it? Carried him off, and Liam Shields carried him off. It was kind of the nice little thing. I do have the
romance.
A passion for that kind of stuff. When the big occasions and you see the people lining up and all the different parts of someone's career and then the teams line up. Like, I'm actually trying to think about American sport, right? Mm. I mean, I'm sure people have been chaired off and the like, but there's not... Is there that kind of romance, do you think?
No, not really, I think, because they move around so much.
Yeah.
Because with free agency, like, there's so many players. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick, who was with the Dolphins and has now moved to a new team.
Oh, no, that's Fitzgerald. Sorry, I was thinking about... Yeah, he played at the Swans and then he played...
and then played at Adelaide.
And then he went to the Dolphins. Fucking hell, that's a career.
So he's up to about his eighth or ninth team.
Yeah, because I find in American sports, like, you feel like a player has been connected to a club for, you know, or they're known for that club, and then you look at their actual record and you go, oh no, they played for five different clubs.
Yeah, well, I imagine like Peyton Manning, who was Indianapolis Colts before, they said, "Mate, we're going with a new younger quarterback in Andrew Luck," and he went to Denver, but I think he would still be celebrated as an Indianapolis quarterback.
Oh, for sure.
Even though he won a Super Bowl with the Broncos.
Yeah, for sure. He could walk into any bar within that area and they'd be like, "You're not paying at all, mate."
Yeah.
And by the way, how many fingers am I holding up?
How's your neck? Can you turn your whole head around?
But mate, it's all going gangbusters for the baggers. Da, 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 da.
I'd say call the review off. We don't need it. Fucking Ross Lyon. If anyone's called Ross Lyon, retract that call.
Yeah, sure. Take it back. I mean, Pav's just walking around the building just going, "Oh, everything's fine, mate. Everything's going
I don't know.
Dinky die. So you got two in a row, mate. You're flying high.
Two in a row. And actually, it wasn't a bad... I mean, we led by five goals. We got the first five goals of the match. And then Frio came back.
Here we go. And we were all thinking, oh, God, here we go.
Yes, that's exactly what we're thinking. And then Carlton, I think, kicked the last three. So it was a good... you know what? It was a solid win. And we don't usually have those. Now, and Frio have been playing pretty well lately. So it wasn't a bad win.
Now, the caveat...
And now we're a game and a half out of the eight.
The caveat, though, Adam, you got to remember the caveat. It was a Fremantle home game, but at the MCG.
Yeah, but it's exactly the same dimensions as Optus. So they couldn't complain too much. And I reckon for the first time ever, after a goal, they did that weird light show like they do over in Perth.
Really?
And they were doing out at the MCG. I don't think I've ever seen that before.
Now, were you there?
No, I could have gone, but I chose to be warm and not potentially freeze my ass off and lose.
Yeah, okay, gotcha. So you're a fan. I mean, you're a fan. I mean, you've been doing a footy podcast for a while, but like a little chilly out and you kind of go, oh, not for Rosie.
Mate, I am Patrick Crisp's biggest fan, so don't you ever say that.
Dude.
I love Steve Walsh. They're fucking, these Carlton players are fucking guns.
But actually, that's not fun. I mean, sorry. that's Freudian. When I said that's not fun. But it is kind of fun by the fact for you that they are, you know, kind of creeping around the eight, I suppose you might put it.
Well, everyone says that we have, I was reading that Carlton has the second easiest run home, which I don't know how they work that out because we're shit. So that must mean there must be a lot of shit teams that we're playing. Like, are we playing Hawthorn and North like four times in a row?
Now, I'm just looking at, we're recording this at 1 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. I'm just looking at the games above you that affect you. So, got Eagles and Swans. So, Adam, I think we might have
our first one.
An 8-point game right here. We got an 8-point game.
Here we go. Fuck, that's early.
They're both on 32 points. Yeah. Okay. And then we have Collingwood and St Kilda. That won't really affect you guys. Collingwood might be, St Kilda might be able to leap over you.
Yes, so that could be that's an important game. Like, hopefully Collingwood can get the win just to keep St Kilda below us.
Yep.
Although St Kilda's, what's in favour for Carlton, St Kilda's percentage is atrocious. So they need the win to get up there.
And then we have the Dogs and North, so that's basically either ends of the ladder, so that won't affect you guys either. But yeah, man, you're looking at that Swans-Eagles game and you're like, okay, that'll keep one of them down. And then you can just beautifully... hurdle over them.
But see, the interesting thing, I mean, huge win by the Giants yesterday over Melbourne. So they've leapt into eighth and pushed Richmond out of the eight. But they have the half game from the draw with North Melbourne. So it's kind of like you need... Percentage doesn't come into it anymore. We need the just to win. We need to keep winning, Michael.
Okay. Can we look at the next Carlton top, next five?
Yeah, how do we do that? I'm trying to look at this on the fucking AFL website.
It
up next
so
doesn't have...
It is so fucking easily to navigate and so practical in all ways.
Yeah. All right,
okay, so... Okay, so you have... Okay, so they have... Okay, no. Okay, so they have up next. Okay. Some clubs have the team they're playing... Oh, okay, anyway.
We've got Geelong. Then we've got Collingwood. Then we've got North Melbourne. Then we have St Kilda. 8-point game. Then the Suns. Then Port Adelaide, then GWS.
Yeah, okay, cool. You finished 12th. Anyway, moving on. But 12th is better than 13th.
Agreed. I'm happy with that. And also, Ross Lyon will not be coming to the club because he has said that it had been reported that Carlton had given him a call. And he said, Michael, and I love this phrase because it's just, everyone loves it. He said it was fake news.
He absolutely cracked it on Footy Classified on a Wednesday night, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
He said it was
fake. Could have been early Thursday morning.
He said it was fake news. I think he chucked in Collingwood as well, that people have said that he'd contacted by Collingwood. And Ross, I mean, you could really tell the difference in his emotion when he went from like a heartbeat of, 85 beats an hour to 86 beats an hour.
And this is the man who has integrity. Like when he went to Frio and he was coach of St Kilda, this was all done with the greatest of integrity.
He was open and honest about the whole situation the entire time.
Absolutely. Like, oh, sometimes you don't tell your manager when you're changing clubs.
Well, look, I mean, there are things we can say about managers, but they but I remember specifically Ross Lyon. He was in meetings, coaching meetings at St Kilda, you know, in the pre-season, and he'd go, "Oh, sorry guys, got a call from Freo," and he put on the phone on the table and put it on speaker and said, "Hey, let's just, you know, hear what they have
open
to say."
And honest. Open and honest. But, and he was like, but guys, you've already got a coach in Mark Harvey. How does this work? You can't just sack him and get me.
I mean, Ross has a pretty big history in fake news, obviously. Because, I mean, remember back in 2011 for the grand final when he said that the grand final was rigged and St Kilda actually won? And we could all see it with our own eyes. We could see it with our own eyes.
Remember that time he said that we need to take the grand final back?
Yeah, sure.
And all the St Kilda supporters stormed AFL House.
There was AFL House, yes, of course, AFL House with all the flags. And then remember he wanted to build a wall at Moorabbin, and he said and he said that Simon Presser-Giacomo Como would pay for it. That's the closest AFL player I could find rhyming with Mexico. Okay. Before you move on, though, I mean, I feel they're getting ahead of themselves with this review, by the way, like in terms of like sacking the coach, like the media or the media.
Whoa.
I know, it's very rare for them to get ahead of themselves.
How dare you to make a huge deal out of one or two games? What are you saying?
But then I also find like, I find it interesting, and it could end up that Ross is the coach, but... do you want him as the coach? Like, what do you think about that personally, Adam Rosenmarks?
You know what? I like the idea. What ideally would be great is if we keep Teague but get in good defensive coaches around him that can put in a defensive structure. We're really easy to kick goals against. We're fine going forward now. Okay. And I don't want to lose that. I hate that Ross Lyon 65-55, you know, you're never clearly going to win. You know, the other team's always in it because they're only two goals away.
Yep.
And so I just, the idea of that, of just heart-wrenching fucking games every week, which happens now. But, you know, like when Hawthorn would just fucking kick away, you'd bury teams and you go, this is great, good attacking footy. You had good defensive structures, but you could also kick goals.
Can you say that again, but like slower?
But everyone comes for Carlton. Like, Michael Warner wrote an article during the week talking about, you know, there's all these factions at the Carlton level board. And Michael Warner's supposed to be this great investigative journalist. Oh, really? Is there? Carlton people don't getting along at board level, are they, Michael? Oh, yourself a fucking Walkman, mate.
Have you been living on the planet Earth for 20 years, Michael?
Fucking hell. Oh, next, here's an article. Oh, Mick Malthouse is a grumpy cunt. Oh, Mick Warner, how did you get that? Oh, BT's an annoying commentator. Whoa, Michael Warner, fucking West Coast had a drug problem. Michael Warner, where are you getting these scoops from?
Oh, if players are going to be playing together, they better get around them. Oh, good on you, Michael Warner.
He knows his shit.
There was a great quote from the article from Percy Jones.
Now, let's...
Friend,
how many times?
Friend of the show, I imagine.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely friend of the show. But when you are thinking Carlton and you're looking at their past greats, not often do they go to Perth for quotes.
Four-time premiership flag winner.
Yeah.
Not to be sniffed at, mate.
No, not at all. And coached in 1980. And then they won a flag in 79. Yep. They
got rid of the coach.
Yes, that's right. Got rid of the coach,
brought in Purse, and then they got rid of him and then brought in Parkin for 81, 82.
Yes. Which, surprisingly, Percy didn't play in. So he must have retired as a player in 79 and then coached in 1980. Pretty bad to have one season where I think they might have made finals and bombed out in an elimination final.
Yeah, gotcha. Imagine that, though. You're a premiership team. You won three flags in 4 years. You've had three coaches in that period. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, what happened?
I mean, at least Hawthorn, when we won back-to-back, one coach had a brain aneurysm, so you can kind of forgive that, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's... Come on, Jeansy.
Jeansy had one. They were like, nah, mate, you're soft. Get out of here. We're getting Joyce.
You know what? It sounded like he wasn't prepared to pay the price.
It's too much chicken salt, mate. Yeah. But there's a quote here from Percy Jones. Yeah, I know it's a long bow after 20 years... Oh, sorry. He's talking about how the salary cap... scandal from 20 years ago, you know, put the knife in you. And he said, back in the day, roughly paraphrasing, every year we were up the top, and now we're not. It's hard to get used to.
I
know he's been working in the bars. Maybe he's got a bit of the wet brain. But I'm like, 20 years, mate. I think you get used to that after a while. Like, I mean, if I kept on stubbing my toe for 20 years in a row, I'd be like,
yeah.
I think on the 21st year, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I think I'm used to this by now.
You fucking attacking a lovely old man, are you?
We've really gone from the highs and lows of Carlton. You've gone from back to back to the coaching too. Adam, our merchandise, our stubby holders. Hey, and also we're coming into winter. You got to keep that beer cool.
Cool or warm?
Well, keep your hands cool.
Keep your hands warm. Keep your hands warm. Keep the beer cool.
Anyway, I've got Percy's.
So you can go to junktime.bigcartel.com. Stubby holders are available. And Junk Timers, we love your support. So if you want to jump on our Patreon's page, you can do so. Patreon.com/junktime. We really do appreciate everyone who's supported us along the journey. You are the wind beneath our wings. Now, Michael, have you wandered down to any Gladys Berejiklian press conferences? Can I just say, I got a lot of positive feedback on that story. A lot of people saying, if there's been a story to sum someone up, it was you wandering down to Gladys Berejiklian's press conference like a homeless person. It really resonated with some of our audience.
It was kind of interesting, like by the fact that I was aware of what I was doing, I think. But I just, I generally was not going to do anything. I wasn't going to try and cause an incident. Like, I wasn't going to say, how will GWS go this week? Although I'm sure that would be the most difficult question she would have been asked at the press conference.
Absolutely.
But I did take down the podcast gear to the to the press conference and kind of just loitered at the back of the group and kind of then, if people haven't heard the episode, and then after about 5 minutes, someone came up and flashed their police badge at me and asked me, am I meant to be here? And I said, no, I'm not. I'm not. I'm really not. And I'm aware of that right now.
Also, quickly, what were you wearing?
Tracky dacks. You're wearing your pajamas. $10 Kmart shoes, T-shirt, and a baseball cap. So I really fit in with the sophisticated, you know, Alan Jones is there with his cravat and his pocket handkerchief.
Yeah.
He's going, it's a no-go zone. But I have noticed that she's been doing it at the hospital not far from Wayne Jackson Studios.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think she did one like maybe the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 2 days later, maybe the next day. And I did maybe walk over and I didn't see it. It was finished. But I wanted to take a picture for a friend of mine because I told her the story and she laughed. Yeah, and I was like, hey, mate, Chambo, always getting the laugh.
Always, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
It had finished, but it seems to be their regular spot near Wayne Jackson Studios.
You know what, though?
Where they do it.
I probably wouldn't go down there too often or they'd start
profiling
it. They'll see you
shoot
coming.
On sight.
Yeah, just a couple of rounds into your fucking chest.
But having said that, when I complained last week, I think I was saying that their vaccination rate at the hospital near Wayne Jackson Studios, they have increased their rate. Although your old friend Chamber went down to try and get one yesterday morning to get the second Michelle Pfizer. And I know they do bookings there, and I wandered in and I was like just hoping they'd do a walk up because I have one booked in for Tuesday morning, and I just couldn't do. Long story short, I couldn't do the time I'd booked in for yesterday, and so I just walked up. It's like, hey, any chance they might be doing them? And they're like, nah, appointment only. I'm like, yeah, fair enough, cool. But I can also see because there were reports during the week like people yelling at staff and the like.
Yeah,
and I could see why people would do that. Because they're fucking idiots, A, but B, also that thing of you don't understand. But that moment I was like, oh, cool, man, no dramas, like, all good, all good. But I can see also where people might kick off and be like, oh, why can't you fucking let me in? Look, fucking, you know, it's just fucking you know?
But what amused me is when anti-vaxxers go in there. It's like, why do you care? Like, why does it bother you so much? Like, it's be like a teetotaler going into a pub, going, you fucking idiots, look at you, drinking your lives away. You're like, mate, fucking, it's our choice, like, What do you give a fuck?
Dude, they're good people. They're good people.
They are good people. Yeah. But I got my second Pfizer I am off to Mumbai tomorrow. So,
well, I mean, that's a lot of questions to be had. And I don't mean to be like thinking, but I actually need to do more research about what I can and actually can't do. Like, I mean, I still wear a mask around people and stuff like that. Although it's fucking a Sydney fucking 2 week lockdown where... No one fucking does shit. Fucking hell,
how
man.
How is your lockdown going?
Dude, I mean, because obviously, you know, I had a taste of it last year in Melbourne, had to do 2 week ISO. Fucking was there for like a month or so, you know, with a curfew and fucking wearing a mask, you know, grey and dark and the dead of winter. You're like thinking you're living in dystopia. And then hearing obviously through the junk time, you know, community and also, you know, family, friends in Melbourne, like kind of living that through them as well. Even though I was like, you know, I was drinking cocktails on Bondi Beach. But dude, these motherfuckers do not know the fucking... Now, luckily, the cases have not gone off the charts. Have not gone. I think it was 16 today. But fuck, man, their idea of a fucking lockdown is like, I'm full of rage. Like, I'm fucking full of rage. But yesterday, like, when I walked down to that hospital to see if I could maybe snaggle a second Pfizer, I had to walk past an oval, and it was, like, maybe 8:30 a.m., and there were fucking people on the oval fucking training in groups of eight. I actually was one of those person. I stood there and counted.
Counted? And like you're five a counter.
There were five or six groups of eight, because the limit is 10, and I'm looking at them going, like... What the fuck are you doing? Like, why do you need to do this right now? Like, how desperate are you for this hour of fitness that you need to do in a group? There were dudes actually doing football training, like non-tackling football drills and stuff.
Yeah, but you're allowed to. That's the thing.
Dude.
You're premier. You should have asked these questions when you were at the press conference.
I mean, tell you what. I mean,
you had your chance.
I missed the boat. I really should have done it. But tell you what. I mean, to the credit of the people of the world, there are a bunch more people walking around with a mask on. And obviously in a shop, you go and put it on and, you know, and I wear one around. But some of the things I'm saying, I'm like going, you are a fucking low dog.
So in Sydney, you could play a game of cricket and just be one short. So you could have, like, instead of four slips, you have three slips and you got 10 on the field.
Yeah, for sure. But it's also chamber bowling. So, like, I mean, it's the wickets are going. I'm going to be knocking over the wickets. I don't need slips, mate. Like, what are you talking about?
Oh, really? You're stump to stump.
This is my canary in the mine, right? Okay, my canary in the mine. So I went to the supermarket today very quickly, got a very healthy meal because I'm preloading. Which I only do like every 2-3 days.
Preloading, hang on, quick question. When's the last time you went to the gym?
I don't go to gyms, man. I don't want to exercise in front of people either. Like, and also these groups of people exercising. It's like, you know what? If you were just genetically blessed like I am, you wouldn't need to work out.
You are weird like that. Because remember, we went away for a skid house social gathering weekend.
Hell, that's a blast in the past. But this is
when we started working together, when we first, our illustrious relationship began.
You dropped the S word right there.
Yeah. And we were down at Lawn, staying at the lovely Mantra down at Lawn, Erskine House. And I was going for a run and you were going for a run. I said, let's go for a run together.
No, like, no, no. I'm not running with anyone. No, I don't want you to feel the embarrassment when I just pull away beautifully. But no, I don't want to fucking exercise in front of people. I don't want to go to a gym and I was like, wipe shit down. And also paying money. Mate, what you do...
Here we go.
It's easy. You just get a plastic bag. You put one on the end of a broom. You put the other one at the end of the broom.
Fill it with
books. You just lift it up and you know. Anyway, no, the point is, what I was trying to say was, what was I trying to say? Oh, my canary in the mine, okay? Fucking lockdown. And for the lockdown, have I told you this before about the costume shop?
This is just Chambo's conspiracy theory.
No, it's a fucking rant. The costume shop. Have I told you about the costume shop? Okay.
No.
So I reckon, okay, mid-March last year, let's say it kicked off, okay? I mean, that's what the experts want to tell you.
Yeah.
And so we went indoors and we're like, okay, things are shut, okay. And there's a costume shop not far from Wayne Jackson Studios, because even though the AFL wasn't playing, I was still doing my research.
Good.
I watched the old tapes. You know, watching every grand final from behind the goals. Yeah. And there's a costume shop. And I'm like, it was always open, okay? It was always open. A costume shop, right? And from where I can go to a particular supermarket, because I've got a lot of supermarkets to choose from, near Wayne Jackson Studios, because I'm doing very well, because we built it together.
Yeah, exactly.
I began to go out of my way just to see if this costume shop was still open. Through the entire of 2020, that costume shop was still open. And I was like, how fucking essential are you? Okay?
No, but you know those times in the middle of lockdown when you're like, I need to be Dracula for the day.
Dude, it was a fucking nightmare. And so I actually walked past it actually today and I was like, unfortunately, it was a Sunday, so they closed on a Sunday. But I'm like, I want to get a webcam at the front of that building to find out when are you going to be fucking open. Because if they are open tomorrow, I am going to be sending a very strongly worded letter to my ombudsman,
dude.
Because I'm furious. Costume shop, a costume shop during a pandemic.
You are on a police list. There is no fucking doubt in the world that they've gone. There was a dude at the press conference. Keep a fucking eye on him. And then they go, well, we saw him installing a webcam outside
in front
of a costume shop.
But a fucking costume shop in a pandemic, really? How many fucking Borat mankinis do you need to sell during a fucking pandemic?
So you saying it's a front? Is it like a speakeasy kind of thing? Like are people going in, they're going, oh, hello, sir. I would like to dress up like a race car driver.
And no, they go,
Please come out the back. Party time, nightclub, drinking, drugs.
I'm just trying to say I tried to buy it about 3 years ago and they didn't let me. But their Austin Powers outfits are so cool.
Yeah. You know who does love socialising? The duck.
Quack, quack, mate.
Wayne Carey wrote an article during the week. So he said, and he begins it, I like this. My ears pricked up last week when Patrick Cripps said, quote, a few beers
Just a few beers. Yeah, I love the idea that he's hear the words a few beers and Duck is like,
ears prick up.
Yeah, wait a second. Someone's talking about beers in Nepal.
Yeah, I need it. I need it. What's going on? He said that a few beers would help in overcoming another defeat and pushing the reset button on Carlton's season. Well, two in a row. Couple of beers.
I mean,
it fucking worked.
We have the evidence, don't we? Yeah. So, Duck wrote an article during the week on the AH website, basically about how socialising can help out the players.
Yeah, he says it's hard to put a price on how valuable it is to spend time with your teammates away from the confines of the footy club. So he's kind of saying that, you know, you're always there at the club with your mates, but sometimes when you step outside it, get together, have a few beers, and just an article from a man who was at a social event, a barbecue perhaps. Maybe they'd had a run of a couple of losses and they said, you know what, let's galvanise this team.
Yeah,
what would galvanise this team better than a barbecue at Archer's place?
Hey guys, let's go to Archer's, mate. And you know what? There are going to be no reviews. No reviews of the third quarter, the fourth quarter, the inside 50s, nothing like that. We're just going to lay back, have a few froths, and what happens.
Yeah. What happens at Archer's Place stays at Archer's Place. We all know that. Duck, why do you keep going in the laundry? There's beers out here, buddy. I've got the snags. What's that? You're just saying what kind of Omo. I use Omo, Duck. Okay, mate, have a look. I don't mind. Kelly? Where's Kelly? Omo. I'm fucking telling you. It's a washer dryer. You can get them at Harvey Norman.
No, it's a remarkable article from Wayne Carey. And actually, I mean, from all the stories that you hear about in the North Melbourne team from the 90s, they did seem to be pretty bonded by the fact that they seemed to be this kind of club that, you know, we're always hanging out together and we're, you know, actually, maybe back in your time, would you see them hanging around a bit of Puckle Street kind of, Mini Ponds kind of area?
Nah, you kind of, oh. North in those days, in the sort of mid-90s, would head to the tunnel and stuff. They were kind of bigger. They were more, They were too big for Mooney Ponds. You know what I'm saying? Like you would see occasional players at the Cactus Club at the end of Puckle Street. But you'd also see Footscray players like Rowan Smith and, You'd see occasional Kangas, but I know Kerry and that. They all used to go to the tunnel and just fucking own that.
Yeah, sure. There was one player who said, I don't think I can name the player, but big player for North at the time. And he said that Wayne Carey basically ran the club, and it was a bit disparaging maybe to the senior coach, Dennis Pagan. Horse trainer, Dennis Pagan.
Yeah.
And said that Duck ran the club, and Duck told them kind of when we're going to train, what we're going to do afterwards, when we're going to go out, what we're going to do. He said Duck was the main guy around the whole thing. And as we all know, everything worked out perfectly fine and everything's okay.
Yeah, because he says the most powerful feedback can come from your peers, particularly in a more casual setting. I reckon he would have got some very powerful feedback at that barbecue, possibly towards the end of the night.
But actually, I think it's also the kind of thing of a rise of someone who wasn't told no for a good 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. You know, if you particularly run the club and you're running a club. I mean, yeah. I think we look back to James Hurt now, and I think he went about 20 years where no one said no to him. And so he's like, I can kind of do whatever I want. Now,
you know,
I don't think that
happened.
Was his motivation, but I think he was like surprised of like, oh, I can't
I'm
do that. Yeah, I haven't been told no for 20 years.
You know what should have happened is the 43 other blokes should have left North Melbourne and Wayne Carey should have stayed.
And just play by himself.
Yeah, just build a new team around him. I mean, why did he have to leave? I mean, he didn't do anything wrong per se. So everyone else gets angry at him. It's like, well, you guys fuck off. You're the angry ones.
Well, there's an interesting...
Duck's fine.
Interesting here from Duck as well. If we'd lost a few in a row, Dennis Pagan, who was a master of footy psychology...
Master.
Pulls him up here. Occasionally made the mistake of sending us to the pub or the movies on a Monday night. And so...
Shit, man.
Maybe
he says when it's contrived, it generally doesn't work. So they were all at the pub going, I fucking don't want to be here, sinking froths. Fuck you, Pago. And then they'd go out and lose because they're so angry.
Well, that's
they're
the
sitting
thing.
In the movies. You can just hear them all grumbling. You go, I hate going to the movies when North Melbourne is there because all they do is fucking talk and whinge about Dennis Pagan.
But picture that idea, though. Like, they show up to training on a Monday evening and Pago's like, hey, guys, no training tonight. You know those 10 400s I was going to make you run?
Yeah.
Not tonight. You know, all
we're
those,
gonna say Shrek.
You know all those weights you were going to do when I was going to put a broom handle and then get a book. And actually, back in North Melbourne those days, actually, it wouldn't be far from the truth, getting a broom and putting books in a bag.
We've got a broom handle. Where did that come from? Jeez. You're a benefactor.
Is that after we won the 96 grand final, we're going to stepping up with the level? He said, no, you're going to the pub or you're going to the movies. I love the idea of the movies that they would be... Okay, can I look up the highest grossing movies of 1996?
When was Shawshank out? 94?
I reckon 93.
Yeah, okay. So 96.
I could be telling a lie. It could be 94. I think you might be right. I think about 94. But Shawshank was not a high grossing movie too. So that was
That's true. It would have. It was only seen by footballers.
Yeah. I tell you one fun fact that old Chambo did. Chambo, one of the few people in the world, saw Shawshank in the cinemas.
Is that right?
I feel I might have actually seen it with friend of the show, Charlie Clausen.
Yeah, okay. And did you come out feeling changed?
I tell you what, I was fucking doing fucking 10 400s every week and just going like, I'm flying. I'm fitter than I've ever been. Okay, top grossing movies of 1996. Okay, let's go with that.
Okay.
Okay, so here are some of the movies that Pago would be
When did Titanic come out?
Titanic, end of 97.
Okay.
Independence Day was number one for the... I'm going to go with American gross, okay?
But it would have been pretty huge here.
That would have been... Yeah, big film. Yeah. Twister, number two.
Oh, fuck yeah. If that's going to... You know what? That's no wonder they won the flag that year. They've all seen Twister. They've come out and gone, mate... Things could be worse. We could be a cow spinning in a tornado.
Yeah, for sure, man. They've gone, fucking hell, Helen Hunt, what an actor. I already love Mad About You, but now...
Yeah.
And then think about what she's going to do in the future years with getting the Oscar for Good As It Gets.
Yeah.
The top 10, they're kind of blockbusters. So it's like Mission Impossible.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Cruise, cool hair. The Rock. I mean...
Oh, as in the Nicolas Cage...
Yeah, yeah.
Sean Connery escaping from the... Mate, that... The footballers would have gone to see that because after Alcatraz, they would love a good escape story.
And also, they're big fans of The Rock. So these footballers would have walked out of the cinema going, wow, The Rock. Like, what an amazing title. Imagine if there was someone one day called The Rock that we can all idolize and like check out their Instagram when he goes into the Iron Paradise at 4 a.m, clanging and banging with his broom and two bags of books on the end of the broom. Nutty Professor, Birdcage, 101 Dalmatians, Time to Kill, First Wives Club. So in the second half, it kind of goes a bit away from the kind of special effects kind of action stuff.
Well, you can see why they were such a powerful side then. When they're seeing movies like that repeatedly too, like not just one-offs. They didn't just see one. They probably saw at least four or five of those films.
Absolutely.
And you can just see they were never going to lose the 96 grand final.
Should we hit the road, Adam?
Yes.
We're going to hit the road. I'm going to stay indoors for a few more days. We are JunkTimeOfAPod at Gmail, Twitter, Facebook, and the gram.
But please, Junk Timers, feel free to hit Michael up on any of his theories about COVID and canary in the mine moments.
Mate, dude, Tuesday morning, Michelle Pfizer, number two. Bang. Chamber. I've gone mad.
This is one of the side effects. Go Blues.
Go Hawks.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.